Okay. So today I want to talk about the Word of God and the Bible and just what it is we have in our hands here and in front of us and how important it is to the Lord and how important it should be to us. And so I have some verses here and we'll go through them, you know, just verse by verse, and we'll see what it has to say. So let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. All right, so 2 Timothy 3:16. So we'll read the first part of that verse. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay? And so this is talking about how the Bible, the scripture, what God refers to his words as is scripture. And he tells us something about his scripture. He says that it is given by inspiration of God. Now, a word that I want to point out here is the word is. It's right now, this very moment, it's being given to us by inspiration. A lot of people think that it was. It doesn't say was given. It is given right now. This book right now, this very moment that's in front of you, is given, how? By inspiration of God. And that word inspiration has to do with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is actively working this very moment through these words to give them to keep them and to give them to us and to have them work in us when we believe them. And this verse is really important as it tells us that a lot of people think that the Word of God was given in the past and we don't have it now. But this is telling us this very moment, the word that is in front of you is given by inspiration of God. And in this word given here, okay, so God does the giving and we do the receiving, okay? We don't have, as men, we're the people who are supposed to listen, and we just sit here and listen. And what God does is he simply gives us his word. So it is, right now, it's not was, it is, right now, given, it's what he's doing, by inspiration through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's go to, and so a lot of the new versions, they change this word of inspiration to God breathed, okay? And they take the Holy Spirit, they take the Holy Spirit out of it. And they use that word God breathed, and they say, when God originally breathed the words back however many thousands of years ago, that's when the Word of God was. But it's the Word of God is right now, okay? I don't know if this I made that clear, but we'll show some more verses. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1.
Unless you take the is out, it still is God breathed.
Mm-hmm. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 21. Let me see. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so this verse is giving us more insight into how the Word of God came to us. And so for the prophecy, so prophecy is referring to the words of God that he gave in the past, came not in old time by the will of man. It's not something that man has anything to do with. As we saw before, it was given. It's given by God to us. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we see the Holy Ghost here is involved in the giving of the Word of God. Okay?
So, Luke, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it was given,
mm-hmm.
and it is given.
Yeah.
It was given through these men that wrote it, but you're saying it is given to us
mm-hmm.
today, right?
Yeah, it's continuing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was introduced to the world through men as God moved in them, and God is still working in his word today through the Holy Spirit. And so he uses men to introduce his word to the world. So if we go to Galatians chapter 1.
Galatians?
Yeah, Galatians chapter 1. Verse 11. So this is going to talk about Paul and how he received the word from God. Okay. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so let's read this a little bit more closely. So, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Okay? And there again, we see how it has nothing to do with men. These words were directly given to him by God. For I neither received it of man, neither as I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so God revealed his word to Paul. And we're going to see over and over again how God reveals his word to holy men, and those men are to write it down in a book and have it and give it to us. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. So God is instructing here Jeremiah what to do with his words. And he was supposed to, verse 2, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee. Okay, so God spake to Jeremiah, and he was supposed to write his words in a book. And let's go to verse 17, and they asked Barak, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch, or however you pronounce that, answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Now, can it get any simpler than that? His answer to how did you do this? He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. That's just so simple. You know, that it can't be any simpler. What a simple answer that is. And the way that God has given us his word is just so direct. You know, write it. Here's a pen. Here's paper. I'm going to tell you what to say. Now write it down. It's not like this big mystery. It's very simple and direct, and his word is something that he has made a way to get it to us. Okay? And this way that God spoke to Jeremiah here is how his word came to all these men. And the importance, important point I want to make here is that God, if you want to know where God's word is, it's in a book, okay? It's written down, okay? And it's in a book that he has made available to us, okay? So the key point here is that his words, he keeps them in books, okay? And he writes them down. And I'm going to show that now how throughout time God has placed his words into a book. a book that we have, and a book that we are to read, and a book that we are to believe.
So he's not talking to people today?
No. I mean, God has spoken to people in different ways throughout time, but the main way is through a book. Let's go to, so in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. So this is Paul talking again. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So Paul is telling us, you know how you're supposed to learn about what God told me? You're supposed to read, okay? That's what he says. He says in verse 4, whereby when ye read, what are you supposed to read? The book, okay? Ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So that knowledge that God revealed to Paul, we can know it when we read because he wrote it down. Just like in Jeremiah, how he said, take the ink and the pen and write it in a book. And now the same thing happened with Paul. God revealed to him, he wrote it with ink in a book. And what does he say? It says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand. And even in the previous verse, it says, as I wrote afore in few words. Okay? So the key point here is that God has revealed his word to men, and these men have wrote it in a book that we are to read. And let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. So Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. So once God had these men write these words in a book, what happened is books don't last forever, do they? I mean, my Bible, I've had it. This is still my first Bible, and I'm seeing that the pages every year are getting more yellow and, you know, more ripped and things like that. As much as you try to take care of it, it just happens. Things decay. And God knows that we live in this world where that happens to paper, and the ink and the pen and the paper that we write on are, they decay. So what God does with the book is he, let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Okay? And so, so God is instructing him here to write a copy of the law. And he is supposed to view that copy as the Word of God, the very Word of God. Okay, so it says in let's read this again, the middle of verse 18, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Okay? And so they were instructed to make copies of the book. Okay? Let's go to Joshua 8:32. We're going to see this word copy again. Okay, Joshua 8:32. I know this book's a little harder to find, but Joshua, Judges, Ruth, right after Deuteronomy. So And he let's read Joshua 8:32. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. So here we see again a copy being made of the law. Okay, and God views these copies as the original, and they were to be used as the original. Okay, so the God's word. A lot of people think that it was just the originals that we no longer have, but that's not true. We see here that copies have been made of the original that are viewed as the very word of God. And this book right here that we have, you might as well view this book as Jeremiah just gave it to you after he wrote it in ink with his pen, because it's that it is. It is the copy of the very original in your hand. And it's because it is given, it was given by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost moved in men, and it is still given today by inspiration of God. And we're going to go through lots of verses that show how God has worked to keep this book for us. Okay, so let's go to Luke chapter 3, verse 4. So Luke chapter 3, verse 4. So John is talking here, and he says, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So here John had the book of Isaiah. You know why? Because copies were made of the book of Isaiah, and John had them. And you know what he says? He says, as it is written. It's not as it was written, as it is written. We can go look at it right now. And the people who were listening to John were, you could go look up what Isaiah said. Because John says, that is as it is written. And then you could say, oh, okay, let me go see that. And they had the book of Isaiah, and they were able to go look it up. Okay? And this verse right here, as it is written in the book of Isaiah, this phrase, as it is written, shows up multiple times throughout the Bible, because people are, they have that word that is written, and they are referring people to it. Okay, and so when we can go back to Isaiah and read those same words, and if we go to Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 3, this is just one example of the many times where people refer back to words that were written. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Okay, and in some of your Bibles, it'll show you the cross reference to Matthew or to different parts in the New Testament. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And so John had those words, and because they were copied, and we have them as well. Okay, the very words. So let's go to John chapter 12. So we're going to do the same thing with Christ now. When Christ was on the earth, he referred to the Old Testament. So John chapter 12. Verse 14. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. Okay? And we can refer back to the words in the Old Testament that foretell of all these prophecies that were coming true. And it was so important that they had the Old Testament in their hands when Christ was on the earth, so that they could read it. And when Jesus performed the miracles, they could line it up together, and they could prove that this really was Jesus, the Christ that was here on the earth. And it was so important that they had these scriptures for when Christ came, that they could compare his miracles with the Old Testament to show that this really was the true Christ. Because there were a lot of Christs that were coming that were fake, that were claiming to be the Christ. And but the only way to prove that they were the true Christ was to refer to what the prophecy said he would be doing. And so they had to have had the true words of the Old Testament. And so many times the miracles that and what Christ did on the earthly ministry, they're written about. Like this one here, we can go to Zechariah 9:9, and it's going to talk about this. We can go to Zechariah with an E, 9:9. So this is kind of near the end of the Old Testament. So Zechariah 9:9. So it says, "Rejoicing greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Okay, so this is the same. They were supposed to, if you were a Jew living during the time that Christ was on the earth, you were to have these words and compare them with what you saw. And if what you saw was matching up, then you knew that this truly was the Christ. Okay? So we can see that how the Word of God, through copies, have been passed down and the importance of that. Okay? And even Paul refers back to the Old Testament. So we go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. So Paul had the Old Testament. He had Genesis, okay? So Paul had the book of Genesis, and we can see this here. Paul says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations," okay? And he's referring to in Genesis with Abraham and how God told them that he was going to make him a father of many nations. And those listening to Paul were able to take their Bibles. They had Genesis, and they were able to find that verse in Genesis and see that what Paul was talking about, because Paul says, "As it is written." And you know what? We have the same words that they had today through copies that have been, that God has preserved through the inspiration of his Holy Spirit. And we can, okay, so let's go to Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. So it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Okay? And God is talking about his words here. And in verse 7 he says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Okay? And so this Bible that we have today are the same words that were written with ink on a pen a long time ago. And you should view these words in your Bible and that they are directly from the mouth of God, and that they have been written down, and that we have them, and that they are pure, and that they are preserved, and that you can believe them, and that they are alive. And we need to really, really understand just what we have here and how special it is. Okay? And Let's go to Psalm 79, verse 11. So a few chapters over, Psalms chapter 79, verse 11. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. And he's talking about God's power to preserve. Now here he's talking about his power to preserve those that are appointed to die. But God has power to preserve. And if somebody tells you, you can't tell me that God had, these are the very words that God originally spoke. And you know what? What, do you think God isn't powerful enough to preserve them? No. He is all powerful, and if he wants to keep his word, then he can. And he's going to find a way to do it. And right here, he has the power to preserve those that are appointed to die. And if you're putting your trust in him to preserve you into heaven, then don't you think he has the power to preserve his word? Okay? So don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't have the power, or he can't do it. Just ask, hey, what, you don't think he can do it? He's God. Okay, let's go to Revelations 22:18. So now we're going to go all the way to the end here. It's almost the very last verse in the Bible. Revelations 22:18. So his word, we have seen, it's so important that it's been kept as the way he spoke it, okay? And Revelations chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. This book is complete, and we don't have to add anything to it or from it, and God condemns people who do. Because, as we have seen, God is the one who gives it, he's the one who preserves it, and we have no part in adding or taking away from his word. And this shows the importance of his word and how it is complete, and we have it today. And let's go to Deuteronomy 4:2. He says a very similar thing in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Okay? And this is a very, very strong commandment here, and the same one that we saw in Revelations. And there are so many people who try to change the word of God and say, oh, he didn't mean to say that. He actually meant to say that. And all these new versions, they're all changed, and they've all disobeyed these commandments that God has given here of not to change his word. And God has promised us that he's going to preserve it. And he has, and we've shown how he has. And anyone who tries to alter his word, they're going against the commandments of God here. Let's go to Matthew 5:18. Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He's written this so how he wants it, that the jot and the tittle, the period and the comma, he is keeping for us. Okay, if he's going to keep it, if he's going to keep those little details, he is certainly going to keep the words as well. And we can be certain that that he has promised us here that till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law. Okay? And so there's an interesting passage in Jeremiah that we'll look at how God's original words were destroyed, and then God made a copy of them. And God's original words, they have been destroyed. We don't have his originals, but we still have his word through copies, okay? Because he has promised us all these things, that he is going to preserve them, and that he is going to keep them, and that one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass, and that we have the very words that have been written, okay? And that his word is complete, and that man should not add unto it or take away from it, and that we have it complete. And if we go to Jeremiah chapter 36, there's a very clear picture of how he keeps his word.
Jeremiah what?
Chapter 36, verse 23. Okay, so this is the same passage we actually read earlier. We read the verse in verse 2 where it said, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words. And so when these words were words that were the king, when they gave it to the king kind of showed him how bad things were going to happen. And he didn't like what the word said about it. And so what the king did with the words of Jeremiah in verse 23... And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the earth. So this was the word that Jeremiah had just written down from God. He gave it to the king, and the king didn't like what it said, and he cast it in the fire. And the fire burnt up the original that God had just spoken to Jeremiah. Okay? And if we go to verse 27, and he says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. So now he's going to talk to Jeremiah again. After that, the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king had burned. Okay, and so God gives Jeremiah instructions to do it again, because the original it's the words that are important to God, not the original. But the copies are just as good as the original, okay? And we have the copies. And what Jeremiah did is he wrote it again and added the words of what happened during that account. And those words that were added about what happened with the fire and whatnot, we have right now to tell us what happened. And what did he do in verse 32? And took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim king of Judah had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. Okay, so here we see an example of God's preservation of his word. The originals were destroyed by a man, and God made a way for a new copy of that to be made. Okay? And this is a direct example of God showing us how he preserved his words, even though they were thrown in the fire. And throughout time, we have these words still, even though men have tried to destroy them. He says, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And it really is going to be these words that he has spoken, they are really going to be preserved forever. And he tells us that. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25.
Luke, I kind of like that he added some more. So God is able to add to what he's already given.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And we saw how in Psalms he said, he's going to preserve this word forever. And we saw in Jeremiah an example of how his original was burned and he wrote a copy. And it's going to be forever. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. These very words that we have are the words that the Holy Spirit and God is working in to keep for us. And we need to really value that and thank God for what he has done instead of trying to find or kind of create a new Bible like these other versions are, trying to say that only the original was inspired or given, and that the copies have been lost, and that we need to kind of guess what is being said, and you have all these different versions. But no, there's only one book that God has kept, and to show that there's only one copy that is true. If we go to John chapter 1, verse 1. So there's only one book that is the Bible. Okay, there's not many, and example to more prove that point is we'll read John chapter 1 verse 1 and then verse 14. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we go to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Christ was called the Word. And he was made flesh. And you know what happened when Christ came to the earth? A lot of false Christs also were trying to show themselves that they were... A lot of people were posing as Christ to show themselves that they were Christ. But there is only one true Christ, just as there is only one true Word. Let me put this... try to make this more clear. So Christ says that he is the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and there's only one true Christ, just like there's only one true Word, even though there's a lot of words that say that they are the true Word, these other versions, and just like there are a lot of other people on the earth that try to say that they were a Christ when they were not, when there is only one true Christ who was the Word. Okay, so there's only one Word, there's not many. And there's only one book that has the Word of God. And we have it today in the form of the King James Bible. And God has preserved his Word for us in this book today. Okay, so there's some other verses that talk about... So we've kind of gone through like how the Word came to us, or how the Word came to us, which through men who wrote it down in a book... how God has made copies, how God has worked to preserve them, and how people throughout time has had these copies, as they have said, as it is written, they're referring to these copies, and how the importance of these copies as the Word of God to prove that Jesus was the Christ in the earth. They were to look in their Old Testament and show that this was really him. And that's just one example of why it's important. We really do have the Word of God. And there's only one true word, and he works to preserve it, and we're not to add or take away from it. And so we've kind of gone through those things, and now we can kind of talk a little bit more about what the Bible says about itself, okay? But there's a few other interesting verses that I want to show first. So if we go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 19. Isaiah 45:19. Okay. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. Okay, so this is kind of a neat verse where it says God has made his word available to us. It's not hidden in a cave somewhere that we have to go on a journey to find or something. Okay, he says, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. These words are so important. And we'll see that how these words give life. And when you believe them, that's how you get saved. And he wants us to have them. And he has not hid them or spoken them in a secret in a dark place of the earth. If anything, that's, you know, if our gospel be hid, that's what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to hide the word. But we, if you doubt that we really have the word and that it's a possibility that we can have it, God wants us to have it, and he tells us that he has not spoken in secret or in a dark place of the earth. It's something that you can have in your living room, which you do. And okay, it's something you can have next to your bed. It's something you can take with you to work. It's not hidden somewhere. It's in front of all of us right now. And it's not something you have to... God has made a way to keep his word available to men. Okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. So this is just another neat verse about his word. For God is not the author of confusion. Okay? He writes things very simple for us to understand. The words that he uses, he makes it so that we can understand them. For God is not the author of confusion. He's going to hold everyone accountable one day to his word, to Paul's gospel. And we're not going to be able to stand there and say, I didn't understand. Okay? Because he's made it simple enough for us to understand. And his word is available, and it is simple, and he has kept it, and we have it. And if anyone tells you, you know, I can't understand this, this is too complicated, or, you know, I need like a priest, or I need someone to interpret this for me, or the, you know, different religions say, you're not able to understand this, we have to interpret this for you. No, he is not the author of confusion. It's simple. It's very easy, and he's made it available, and you can just open your Bible and read the words and know that they're the words of God. And of course, it takes time and study and things like that, but it's something that he has made for us to eventually understand. Okay, and so we've established we have this book, and what are we supposed to do with it? Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1. So we've talked a lot about God is the one who is given by inspiration of God. God is the one who preserves it, okay? He is the one who speaks it. We don't have any part in that. We just are the ones who copy it and pass it along. He works in men to do that. Our role is to, chapter 32, verse 1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. This is what we're supposed to do, is to listen to what he's saying. And to use our ears, okay, give ear. We all have two ears, and a lot of people, I mean, it's very important to use them, okay, and to use them to hear God's word. And a lot of people, and you know what, everybody is able to listen, and because if someone tells you when you were younger, you know, don't touch that or don't cross the street, you learned that you should listen to those things. But it's a matter of what you want to listen to. And a lot of people choose not to listen to this word, but they'll listen to other things. And we all have the ability to hear, and we all can listen. But we need to listen to God's word, okay? He has given us the ability to hear it, and it's a matter of wanting to. And he's urging us. He's like, I've given you this awesome Bible and this awesome word. Now, just please, just listen. Stop trying to change it and, like, look for it. You have it. Now, just listen to it. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. And we'll go to Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Faith is just simply listening to what God has told us, to listen, just listening to his word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's all God really expects of us, is to simply listen to him and to listen to his Bible and to listen to his word. Okay? All right. So that's what we're supposed to do with it. We're supposed to read it, and we're supposed to listen to it, and we're supposed to study it. And we can be sure that we have it. Okay? And, you know, what's sitting in front of you is the word of God. And don't let anybody tell you that it's not. And God tells us that he will preserve it, and he has the power to preserve it, and he has. And he's given us examples of how he has done that. All right. So we have a few minutes left. Where do I want to go here? All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So there's a lot of description here of the word of God. And the first one is quick. So what does quick mean? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So quick is in contrast to the dead. And we see that over again in the Bible, how it says the quick and the dead. And it's they're in contrast to each other. So the quick means alive. Okay, so this Bible is alive. And if we go to Psalms chapter 119, verse 25... Psalms chapter 119, verse 25. So this verse says, My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. So this word has always been alive, and this word quickens you. This word makes you alive. Okay? It says, quicken thou me according to thy word. And this word right here, it brings life to our soul and our spirit. And when we read it and when we listen, it's how God can work in us. Okay? This is very exciting. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. I know we're going through a lot of verses, but
we like
verse. Yep.
Chapter and verse in 2 Timothy that we just read. Can you tell me what that verse is?
2 Timothy 4 1. Okay. Hmm? All right, now Matthew 4 4. But he answered and said, it is written. So this is something that is in the Old Testament as well. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay? So we need food for our flesh and our bodies, you know, most of us three times a day. And we also need word for our soul and spirit inside of us. Okay, and this is just how God has designed us. This is how it is. Okay, we can't get away from this. And it says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what? If you don't have the word of God, you know what you are? You're dead. We have to have the word of God to live. And if someone says we don't have the word of God, well, then we're hopeless, because that's the only way that we can live in our soul and spirit and live eternally with him, because his words are life. And there are some very, very interesting passages. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 2. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel chapter 2. Verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was within therein lamentations, and mourning, and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. This is such a neat passage here, where he's eating the word of God by listening. Okay, it's the word of God that he's eating, and he's eating it by listening. But he's comparing it to food and filling his belly, and that it's sweet. It's so interesting. And all of us today can have the same experience when we read the word of God. And we need to fill our bellies with these words, because they are sweet. And if we go to Psalms chapter 19, verse 9. Psalms chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. I will just read verse 10. So talking about the judgments of God and his word in verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much more fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So in talking about his words, how sweet they are, and like the honeycomb, and that's how he's designed us, and this is what we're supposed to do with his word, and this is how it brings life to us. And we'll read in Jeremiah chapter 15. We're doing a lot of verse flipping. Jeremiah chapter 15. Verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. And so here again we see how eating the word of God, and how when we eat it, it brings us joy and rejoicing. And so the last thing I want to close here is the word of God brings life. Okay? And we, without the word of God, you're dead and hopeless. And the only reason that any of us are saved is because of the word of God. And if we go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So this word here, the gospel of Christ, these words that were given to Paul, it has the power to save you. Okay? Because it's quick. It can quicken thee according to thy word. And when all you have to do is to hear and to listen and to eat it and to have faith. And when you believe Paul's gospel, that's what you need to be saved. And we all need to be saved, because we're all sinners, each and every one of us. And the wages of sin is death. And because we're dead, we can't do anything. You're dead. And we need someone to save us. We can't take care of our sin ourselves. Okay? And it says that... it says there's none righteous, no, not one. And there's nothing you can do to save yourself. You're dead. You're a sinner. And we need Christ as our Savior, who is alive, to save us. And he did that for us on Calvary. Why? Because he loved us. And he loved us, and he sent his Son to the cross to die on the cross for our sins, and shed his blood for our sins on the cross. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And he is in heaven now, and he's saying, just believe what I have done for you, and what I have done for you on the cross, and shedding my blood for your sin. And all you have to do is believe. And just believe this gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that's the gospel, and that's the word that saves us. And it's not according to your works. It's nothing that you can do. It's only according to faith and believing the word of God. And that's so important. And those are the words that God revealed to Paul, that Paul wrote down, that we are to read so that we can understand this. And those words have been kept and preserved by Christ through copies throughout time. And you know what? We have them today, and they're alive, and they can save. And it's so important. And there's only one word, and we have it right here in our King James Bible. And we'll go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Maybe we'll end on this verse, okay? So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So that's it, right here. It's that simple. You hear the word, you believe it, you're saved, okay? And it's because the words are alive, they're quick, we have them today, and they can save you. And when you read your Bible, you got to read it if you want life, and not only eternal life, but life every day in your life, eternal life every day. And if you feel down, if you feel angry, if there's something wrong going on, the only way that that's going to change is by opening the Bible and reading it. And we all know that when we are in a mood where we don't want anyone to tell us what to do or be corrected, and we just want to keep doing what we're doing, being angry or whatever, the last thing you want to do is open your Bible. And you know why? Because you know that it's what's in there. And you know it's alive. You know it is. And it's living and it's breathing. And it's just like as if God himself was standing there, and you don't want to look that way. And this is a living, breathing book that we have in our hands. And the only way for you to get that breath and that life in your own life every day is to go to it. And if you don't, well, that's your own fault, and that's your decision. And the more you read, the better your life is going to be. And it's all about this book, and it's all about reading it. Okay? So that's it.
Get a bad mood. No.